Father, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your power, and everything that you have done for us, and the things that you've done to us. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. There is none like you in all the earth. No matter how much man tries to act like, he's equal to you. No matter how many governments come and go, there is none like you in the earth. There is none able to build up and tear down, to pluck up and plant. There is none like you in all the earth. This world belongs to you, and everything that's contained herein. Every little hair, you said, is numbered. All of our enemies are known by name. Everything that comes against us, you know about it before it happens. You know our thoughts are far off. You are so great, you know what it takes to comfort us, to build us up, to give us a white stone and make us perfect before you. Please let your will be done in us, because we're willing to listen and willing to take your yoke. Please help us to understand and help us to understand. Nothing takes you by surprise. Please judge the wicked. Please judge the impenitent. Please chasten those of us that are slack and don't care about what urgency you have. Scourge us when needed, so that we can fulfill your role on this earth. We ask you to provide our needs. We ask you to provide our needs, so that we can say like David, you are our shepherd. We will not lack. Forgive us, Lord, when we're slack. Forgive us when we're not paying attention, when we miss the mark. Forgive us when we don't know to ask you to forgive us, because we don't know that we did wrong when we did wrong, and it was still wrong when we did it. Forgive us, and then help us to see it so that we can repent. Teach us to forgive those that rightfully, according to your will, need to be forgiven. And teach us to rejoice at the proper time when you're executing your judgment. Help us to be strong in the midst of all of the besieging that's coming on this world, from friends, family, and this government, and our peers, and our ethnic groups, and our political parties, and just our own flesh that we have. Deliver us from whatever plans they have for us. Whatever plans, Lord, the wicked one have. You rule. You're ruling from heaven. Let us be citizens of that heaven. We ask these things because we know you have the power to do it. Teach us to glorify and honor your name in our thoughts, in our home, everywhere we go. so that we can praise you, so that we can be gates, entry points, places where people can see your glory. Because in the midst of it all, we continually lift up your mighty name. Father of mercy, look upon all of our ailments, all of them, even those that we have that we haven't even had diagnosed or don't realize yet. And grant us your strength, your restorative powers. You haven't forgotten how to heal. You haven't forgotten how to smite. You haven't forgotten how to scourge. You haven't forgotten how to rebuke. You haven't even forgotten how to raise the dead. We ask you for your help and your health that you can give us as we trod this path. But whatever you decide, teach us to never forget the worship of thanksgiving. We ask you, Lord, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ, make us who you would have us to be before we draw our last breath, before we riding down the road one day and never make it home, or before we eat something and never get to chew it up, before we walk in somewhere and someone shoot, or a heart attack, or a stroke, whatever way you take us out of here. Just help us to be ready, that we'll be in your blessed presence. Because really and truly, that's all that matters. I ask this for every one of us. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Tonight, Thursday, May the 11th, 2017, we're still in the book of the Revelation, the 18th chapter, and we're still looking at this abominable whore. This filthy, wretched, nasty, feeling that she's beautiful, whore. The one who God is so upset with. Would to God we would learn to be upset in the same magnificent way. Would to God we realize that many times we have played the whore. In this particular passage, we see that God is bringing out and showing his divorce upon this whore. But her judgment is just. And you cannot get past this chapter without seeing that God will judge those who have known his will and his way and decided to listen to their own counsel instead of his. Tonight we're going to talk about God's judgment upon the whore. As Jesus gives this message to John to give to his saints, he's revealing that he will judge the whore. Please understand that when I talk about the whore, and if it gets on your nerve that I keep saying the whore, the whore, the hoe, the whore, the adulteress, understand this is what people continually do before God. This is what people that have learned of God, have been blessed of God, have heard about his son, often have repented, often have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come and turn away. counsel of the ungodly and stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful and turn their back on the living God and become whores. So if I keep saying whores and you don't like it, how much more does God detest when people do it? Now, when we deal with this 18th chapter, yes, I could have been through with the 18th chapter. Could have already been finished teaching this book of the Revelation. But to many people, this book, this epistle is not relevant in their lives because they look at it as something that's way off in the future that means nothing to them. And yet here we are living in a world where there are people still being killed for the gospel, people still being raped that are called Christians, property still being taken from people that are called Christians, and people that are calling themselves Christians living ungodly life, fornicating, adulterating, killing, murdering, lying, using wicked judgment, and still call themselves the people of God. There is no difference. In many cases, between those that declare that they're clean and those that don't declare that they're clean, that know that they're unclean. In this particular passage, we're going to deal with these four verses. Actually, it's just 3 through 6. Maybe we can finish this chapter on Saturday, if the Lord's will. But tonight, there was some stuff jumping out, and I want you to hear it. We covered 3, and we covered some of 4 on Saturday. I want to read through it, but I want you to hear 5 and 6 when I get to it, because that's where the meat for tonight is. Revelation 18, verse 3. Listen to the sweet word of God. Revelation 18 and 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled, fill her double. Jesus is revealing, if you look at it closely, he is revealing the judgment that comes upon one that has had his blessings and turn away from it. He's not talking about in particular people here that have not known. He's not talking about people that have not professed. He is talking about one that has had the privileges,
one that has walked with him, one that knew him, one that was special to him. Therefore, she is called a whore throughout the book of Jeremiah. She is called an adulteress. She is called a wild-ass dromedary that traverses as she go and cannot be satisfied. She has been called in Ezekiel chapter 23, one that lusts after donkey's phalluses and loves the sperm of horses. And in the 16th chapter, one that opens her feet or her legs to every nation that goes by and pays them to have sex with her. She is considered the whore. This is the same whore in Revelation chapter 18. What made her get that imagery? What made her get this kind of title? It's because of the love of God not being present in her. It's because she would not be faithful to her God. It's because she would not listen to his word as the primary source of truth. Another word for that is the presupposition. It was never her assumption as a whole to understand whatever God say is right and all his works are done in truth. I will not listen to another. She took after the same manner of Mother Eve and listened to the counsel of the demons.
Therefore, she had another God before God. We talked about the riches of Jerusalem. We talked about their money. There's even much more I could have said. We talked about it, but we got to the place where it says, come out of her, my people. God had talked like that before to the people back in the days of Isaiah. He talked about it in the days of Jeremiah. But I'm telling you now, the Bible talks about that. Even in the New Testament, Paul tells the people. I want you to understand that tonight, as we go into this word of God, we're going to be looking at some passages. Because I believe that sometimes we just need to hear the word of God. And it does not mean that we will not come back to this passage later and look at it some more. But tonight, what we're going to do is look at some of these things that we see that is taught about this. Quite important. Paul tells them to come out of her and touch not the unclean thing. He said, then I'll receive you, saith the Lord. When we read our Bible, what do we get? Do we just see stuff in there and forget what we've seen? I will submit to you that as we read this Bible and as we read these passages, there are so many places where God has taught us in these scriptures how he feels not only about whoredom, but he's also told us how he feels about us being caught up in things that we ought not. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, I quoted that, where Paul says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We are also familiar with the scripture that tell us, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. For these people in the first century, the thing that they needed to learn was, you better stop being like these people that God is getting ready to judge, because he says, be not partakers of her sins. Listen, the issue
if you are partakers of her sin, if you are partakers in her enjoyment, you are just like the kings of the earth. Listen to verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Do you think that when they were drinking the wine that they were feeling the fornication? Do you think that when they were having their delicacies and they were trading God and service and laying up with the people and taking money from the people and mistreating the people by deception and theft that they felt wickedly or that they felt like something bad was happening? No. But just because you enjoy something, it doesn't mean that there's not any wrath in it. There is some slow-acting poison in this world. I have given poison to rats before. 99.9% of some of the poison is of the poison, what we call poison, is not poison. Some of it is wax, and some of it looks like bird seeds that may have a little bit of Bifidicum in it. The cum in it is the same thing that you hear in Coumadin. Thins the blood. Some of it has bromethalin, which is a nerve poison. It kills the rat by destroying something in his neuron. It does it in the brain. The rats eat it, and they enjoy it. The slow acting one, they can eat 2 or 3 days. And then, as they chew, because they're rodents to keep their teeth from growing, they die. How many people have laid up and fornicated over and over again and enjoyed it? Homosex, lied, stole, cheat, robbed people, done any and everything that they could to enjoy themselves and never felt the punishment, never felt what God was going to do. And because sinners against an evil work is not speedily executed, Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 says, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. But listen, Ecclesiastes stops in the 12th chapter. And if you read chapter 12, and it scores around the 12th verse, it is a letter to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I want you to understand when he says, come out of her, my people. These people were intrinsically tied. They were tied with the temple worship. They were tied with the Jewish people and so forth. Everything looked biologically. They had cousins. They were sons of Abraham. They lived many times in the same land. If they didn't live in the same land, they had to come back to that place to worship. There was a lot of peer pressure there, and people had moved the worship of God to the temple. Notice there's a difference between worshiping God at the temple instead of worshiping the temple in the system. Because when you worship the temple in the system, you can worship the altar, you can worship the temple, but you don't realize what's doing the sanctification of that. So what ends up happening is the person begins to count God slack, and they start doing for worship the commandments of men. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 15. And if you notice, even then he was teaching his disciples, come out from among them. You think I'm lying? You read it on your own time. Matthew chapter 15, after Jesus told the Pharisees that you make men go and follow your traditions and you honor your traditions and you denigrate or you forsake the commandment of God for your traditions, Peter came back to Jesus and said, Lord, did you know that they were offended in what you said? And Jesus said, every tree that my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. I want you to understand, he was telling them to come out from among them. Jesus told them one time, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, their doctrine. Pharisees were pleasing what they were doing.
And they had other people drinking in the wine of the wrath of their fornication. But he said the merchants of the earth are wax rich through their delicacies. Many people, we talked about them buying and selling and turning things to a den of thieves. But when you talk about come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. I want you to understand, when you read the Bible and we see they talked about the song of Moses, when you see it says and that you receive not of her plagues, I want you to go back in your Bible and look at how God had already talked to these people about the wickedness and the ungodliness of how they lived and how God would deal with them when they turned their back on him. Now, when I say that, that's just another word for saying when you go whoring after other gods. Listen to Deuteronomy. This is the second group that God was dealing with because he's killed the first generation because they wouldn't obey. Deuteronomy 28:58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that is written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then Yahweh will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuances. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will Yahweh bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. This is what he's telling his wife. Israel was married to God. And if you think this does not apply, then you don't understand that Leviticus 26 tells you the same kind of stuff in a short form. Understand that this is a continuation of that. Leviticus 26 was written when the first generation was living. It had not been wiped away. Now he goes in greater detail to the descendants so that they can understand. They have already seen God's judgment upon their parents. And he's telling them, if you turn, if you go a whoring, I'm going to send you diseases. I'm going to send you plagues. I'm going to venture to say that if America had not turned its back on God and lived like God said, I believe a lot of plagues and diseases we have, we wouldn't have. I believe there would be certain people that wouldn't even get to live in your country. There would be certain things that would be quarantined. Certain things would not be allowed. But how much more if we come out from among the ungodly, especially the ungodly that call themselves the Church of God, or Hebrews, or Hebrew Israelites, or Messianic Jews? You should be able to understand that if you're not living according to God's word, that's a cause for plagues. That's a cause for being destroyed. Come out from among those that will give you counsel that you don't have to obey God, that grace covers everything. And because you're under grace, you no longer have to obey God. Let me tell you something. Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is verse 8, says, Christ is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Tell me I'm lying, and I'll call you a liar. Amen and amen. Now I'm going to soften my voice. Verse 62. And you shall be few in number. You see, when the plagues come and you become few in number, God will have to deal with the remnant. And you will be few in numbers, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude. Because thou wouldest not obey the voice of Yahweh thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced to do, listen, and it shall come to pass that as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked up from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee from among all the people, from one end of the earth unto another. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou or thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have a rest, but Yahweh shall give thee their trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Now, if you think that this does not apply, you better understand it as that in that first century, just like in 722 BC, when God came in and let the 10 tribes be carried away, and they left their land, and he plucked them up out of the land, did the same thing in the three deportations. I think the last deportation was about 585 BC, and they had one about 586, anyway, from 605 to 585, they had three deportations from Jerusalem. They were kicked and they were plucked out of the land. And now you see in 70 AD, they were kicked and plucked out of the land. Many of them were destroyed. Many of them were taken away. Many of them were on ships, and they were sold, had no person to redeem them at all. And they learned different worship. They learned different ways and things to go. But God had warned his people. The Lord Jesus had shown that even those people in that day, you have had one last chance. You had the day of your visitation. Do you understand the signs of the sky, or what the sky is talking about, the face of the sky, and don't discern the sky or the signs of your time? Do you understand I came to preach peace and the acceptable year of the Lord, but there is a time coming that I'm going to bring about the vengeance of our God. Too many passages have talked about me trampling out the vintage and the wine press. So he says, come out from among them. To those first century Jews, not only did he give them words of encouragement, but if we were to go back and read chapters 2 and 3 of the Revelation again, he gave them warnings. He gave them warnings. And you see the same kind of tone that we have in Deuteronomy being exhibited right here in the Revelation. But if you don't accept these things, if you don't see these things as they are, maybe, just maybe, you think that God has changed. We find plagues. There were people and men killed by the plagues in the 9th chapter of Revelation, the 11th chapter, the 15th chapter. All through the book of the Revelation is talking about plagues. In chapter 9, 11, 15, 16, this one in 18, and then you'll have a couple in the 21st chapter. Why is that? Because God had started way back then telling his people what it would be like to be married to him. Telling of the blessing, the abundance, them being able to fulfill his laws, be able to do his will. And yet, if you turn against me, what his judgment would be. But one of the things that we look at here, it says God has remembered her iniquities. If you don't understand that Jesus is showing those that have had the opportunity, the taste of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and have come and been a part of his counsel, and with none of his reproof, Proverbs chapter 1. If you don't understand that he's bringing about the calamity, and it is bringing about the distress, and you better be warned, you don't really know your Bible. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, 21. I'm not going to read it, but he says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name cast out devils, in your name did many wonderful works. These are people that were part of the family of God at one time. They had known the way
ways of God. They had known the truth of God. They knew his name. They said, in his name there is power. It's power over devils. In his name there is power to do works.
He said, I will profess to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You work iniquity. And so what Jesus is showing in this particular passage to those people in the first century, Smyrna, Thyatira, people in Ephesus, people in Pergamum, people that would come after them throughout the centuries, including us today, what Jesus is showing is that this, the reward is going to come. Because the reward comes to every man according as his works will be. He says, reward her even as she has rewarded you. And double unto her according to her works. Now, if you don't understand how this works, we need to go back into our Bible, even if you do. And I want you to see what God has said about this kind of thing. It's very important that we look in the scriptures and make sure we understand that scriptures will interpret scriptures. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. It's very important. I want you to go there with me. Listen to what the Bible says. Paul had just came out of talking about how the world was wicked and how God had to judge the wicked because when they knew God as God, they glorified him not as God. They became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened, and he showed the power of God's judgment on these nations and what they would turn into. And then he said, it's not only going to be for those that do it, but for those that have pleasure. Let me read that verse right quick. That's the 32nd verse. Notice, it talks about those who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Now listen, here he's going to talk to the whore. He's going to talk to those that are in the midst of the whore and those that are considering whoredom and those that are not whores and wanting them not to be whores and those that are whores for their judgment. Listen. Verse 1, chapter 2. Thou therefore art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges for wherein you judge another. Thou condemnest thyself that judges that doeth the same thing, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such thing. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such thing and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you understand that he's saying that there are some that would know the judgment of God and yet do the same thing? I'm telling you, the book of the Revelation is saying, come out, come out. Let you gonna take the place. Moses has warned you. Jeremiah has warned you. The Psalms have warned you. Jesus the Christ has warned you. Now his time is coming from judgment. I'm telling you now, stand strong. Come out from among them. Not necessarily that you got to move from where you live, but come out from that council. Do not take the counsel of the wicked. Do not take the counsel of the devil. Do not listen to the doctrines of demons. Do you understand that at that last time, many would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and have their conscience seared with a hot iron and deny the Lord that bought them, just like Alexander the coppersmith. He turned away from Paul, and Paul said, the Lord judge him according to his works. Yes, he did say it. I know what I'm talking about. He says in verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after the hardness of your impenitent heart, treasureth up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Do you understand that the revelation of the righteous judgment of God is the Lord Jesus? Tim, how'd you get that? Haven't you all read Oh, you know how Jesus says sometimes, have you never read in John chapter 5 where Jesus says the Father judges no man but has committed all judgment to the Son? Have you never read it? You should have. It's in your Bible. But that is what Jesus taught. And therefore, the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, I believe that what he is showing in this revelation, that this is what it's about. I'm walking in the candlesticks. I'm doing all those things that the imagery has shown. But I want you to remember, who is the one that takes the scroll? Where does he take it? It's the Lord Jesus, right? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Where does he take it from? Heaven. This is where all of this is coming from. It's coming from heaven. His will in heaven is being done, and now it's going to be on earth. Who is the one that strips the seals open? Who is the one that causes the trumpets to blow? Who is the one that takes the vials out? Now listen to what he says in John 5:25. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Do you want to have a spiritual resurrection? Do you want to be raised from the dead now? Or do you want to be one that when you die, you don't die, but you continue to live, but just your body's a corpse? Or do you want to be one of those walking around, and when you bury, when you're dead, the dead is burying their dead? Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given life to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What? How do we see the Lord Jesus in Revelation 1 and 7? Don't we see him coming in the clouds? Aren't we fully familiar with, by now, Daniel chapter 7 and 13, where we see him going up in the clouds to receive kingdom and authority and power? Listen to the 22nd verse of this same chapter. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. How does the book of the Revelation start out? Doesn't it say the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show unto his servants the things that should shortly come to pass? So while we are reading in this book of Romans, and it says, but after the hardness of your impenitent heart, treasure up wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who do you think this judgment is coming through? Who do you think is judging the whore? Who do you think is judging those that will turn their back on God and become what we call apostate and live deliciously and live wickedly and wrong? He says, come out. This is the next verse. Who shall render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, and life. Glory. What are all of the glory things? You want to know what the glory is? When you go back and read chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he did overcome. I'm going to let you eat from the tree of life. He that overcomes, I'm going to give you a white stone. He that overcomes, you can sit with me on my throne. He that overcomes, I'll let you rule with me. He that overcomes, you will not be touched by the second death. Do you think that's glorious? Them that come out from among them
Come out from among their counsel. Come out from among their doctrines. Come out from among them and listen to the word of God, to them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor. What do you mean honor? Have you read your Bible? What did God tell Eli? He said, Eli, you honored your sons above me. And God prophesied death on them. He says, don't you know that those that honor me, or him that honors me, I will honor? And him that lightly esteemed me will be lightly esteemed, which means he'll be despised. To those who by patient continuance, we consider that to be what we call endurance. In well-doing, they seek for glory, what God has promised, honor from God, immortality not touched by the second death, eternal life. But to them that are contentious, to them that don't come out, but to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, where do you get your counsel? If you're not obeying God, you got to be obeying disobedience and unrighteousness. But to them that obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every man that doeth evil, to the Jew first. That's the one that was married to God. And also the Gentiles, who they were supposed to lead. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentiles. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law, they did not know God, did not know the commandments, were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, etc. For as many of them that have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. You're still going to be judged. Because Romans 1 and 20 said, you had a knowledge of God, but you suppressed it in unrighteousness. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Revelation is where we are. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Do we see that in the whore? Do we see that those that have heard? Do we see that those that have known? Do we see that they have had nations to drink of the wrath of the wine of the fornication? Do you see why you got to come out? Because you're being taught to be a hearer and do what you want to. That's wicked counsel. He says, for not the hearers of the law should be just before God, but the doers of the law should be justified. And then I'm gonna show this right here to help you understand. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the thing which are in the law, these having a law or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness in their thoughts, the mean while excusing one another. And you have people that are supposed to be the people of God have not even elevated to that point. Do you understand when you get to really see what Romans is teaching? Romans will teach you in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of God's law is supposed to be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But Jesus is having a reveal that he will judge. He will bring his plagues on one that turned their back to whoredom.
He despises whoredom because it shows you have gone a whoring after someone else. So he says, come out that you receive not the plagues. He says, their plagues have reached to heaven. Do you understand how bad that is? When he says their plagues have reached to heaven. Because when you think about it, that's an imagery of like the sacrificial system. If you think about it, I think about it. And when I see it, I know what he's talking about. Listen to what he says. When he says, render unto her, it says, reward her as she rewarded you. When you read the Bible in Exodus chapter 22, God has shown how when thievery is done, it is supposed to be paid. If you look in Exodus 22 and 4, you see it says, if theft be found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double.
You get the same kind of judgment as one that has been never with God. Because there's no respect of persons with God. And so he goes right back to how judgment is done, what we call in the Old Testament, and that judgment is given to them. And we see that God is shown is going to be on that same style, double. Whatever you've done, you're going to get it. Revelation 13 and 10, remember we were there? It said, he that leads into captivity shall go into what? Captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with what? The sword. What does it say in 16? Where we went 16 before? 16 and 5. It says, thou art righteous, O Lord, which was. And it says, art and shall be, because you have judged thus. They have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Do you understand? God had already set up how things would be done, and so it's showing that they are worthy. God has put his judgment upon them, because in the next verse, and righteous are his judgments. Now in Psalms 28 and 4, listen to how David talks. It says, give them according to their deeds. What deeds? You have caused people to drink of the wine of the wrath of fornication. You have shed blood. Your sins have reached into heaven. Instead of causing people to be blessed by God, you caused people that would enter in to do righteousness to fall away from it. He says, come out from among them. If you stay with them, look what you're going to get. Psalm says, even in the days of David, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the works of their hand and render to them their dessert. They're just due. They call this people in the 18th chapter, this whore, Babylon. Pulling from what we've seen in old Babylon, in what we call the Old Testament. Well, listen to how the Psalms talk about that. Psalms 137 and 8, Babylon that had destroyed and worked against God's people, just like this whore right here works against God's people in the worst way, not just killing, but trying to usurp authority over his people, try to take the place of God as being the one that gives his laws, and they want to give their laws. 137 Psalm, verse 8, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Jeremiah says in the 50th chapter, in the 15th verse, shout against her round about. She has given her hands, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord that taketh vengeance upon her, as she has done, so do unto her. I don't understand if you cannot see that God has already shown that everything that we're looking at in the book of the Revelation, most of it is already taking place in one form or another. He is being consistent, bringing it back, showing that privilege gives responsibility. And Jesus is revealing that he will not put up nor tolerate with one that goes into whoredom. Come out! Or receive her judgment. Listen to Jeremiah 50, verse 29. Call together all the archers against Babylon, all that bend the bow, camp round about it. Let none thereof escape. Recompense to her according to her works and according to all that she has done, do unto her, for she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. If you can understand that this has to be, it's Babylon that we're talking about. Has to be Israel. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen, if you can understand, because her qualifications show that all the blood of the prophets are in her. The blood of the saints are in her. Then you begin to understand that what God is doing is showing, as I have done to them, so I do to you, because there's no respect of persons with me, and I'm giving you the name Babylon so that the people that hear, that might be tempted to follow you, that might be tempted to walk away from the Lord after having tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, after having done all of that and to know that heaven falling away, and in that mindset, they would not be able to be returned to repentance. Long as you have the mindset to walk away from God, you can't repent because your mind is corrupted. Your mind is the wrong counsel. As long as you're in that mindset, you'll be destroyed. So look back on my record. You got the same name given to you by Jesus and given by the angel to John. He's calling you Babylon. Think. Just like they slain the people of the Lord. Listen to Jeremiah 51 and 49. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of the earth. I will submit to you that he is showing, render unto her according to your works. Well, what about grace? This is the New Testament right here. This is New Testament for those that don't believe that God would do these things. In Zechariah 9 and 12, it says, turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. He did that with nations over and over and over again. But it says, reward her. She has rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works. Well, listen to what the Lord has said about that kind of mess. You remember this woman had scarlet color. And decked in gold and precious stone and had a golden cup in her hand. When we were in chapter 17, verse 4, listen to the Psalms. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Have you never read Revelation 21 and 8? Where it talks about the lake with fire and brimstone, the second death. Do you understand that these people here were at once called the people of God? Listen to Psalm 75 and 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same. But the dregs thereof of all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. God told Jeremiah 25 and 15 in dealing with the wickedness of whorish Israel. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink of it. Do you remember when we just got through reading just a few minutes ago? That in God there is no respect of person. To those that have the law, to those that don't have the law, you're still going to be judged by that God. The last scripture dealing with that cup, listen to what it says when God talked about the first Babylon. Jeremiah 51 and 7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that has made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. God has remembered Israel, and he's paying her back according to her works. And I believe, as a Bible teacher, that what God is warning these people in the first century, don't turn back. He's already warned them by telling them that if you hold on, your name will not be blotted out of the book. But look how gracious he is in long-suffering. Look at the warning that he's given in this way. He's showing that the very things that Moses said still hold. They hold true. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And so what you see is the cup, the wine, is going to be poured out.
the judgment is going to take place. And if individuals don't see what has happened, if you don't see what these people have done, and even after all this is said, Lord have mercy, this whore will start attacking the people of God. They're going to beat Paul. They're going to have Paul stoned. They're going to do things to Peter. I'm just letting you know that as the people of God, we better understand that this warning that was given to them, it wasn't idle. It's the kind of warning that lets you know, as the people of God, that we better learn not only to reverence God, but to fully fear him as well. He tells them, look, I know you can't bear them which are evil. Come out from among them. You know that they are false apostles. Don't listen to them. They got a doctrine. A doctrine is a teaching. They got counsel. They lie. They lie. You didn't give up. He told them, you left your first love. Who is your first love? What is your first love? I would submit to you, you better learn to overcome. That's very important. Or else, if you don't come out from among them, when the judgment comes, you will miss eating from the tree of life. You will be hurt by the second death. Saying, come out. Come out. All these stumbling blocks is thrown in front of you. You've heard him talk, and he said it. As a matter of fact, do you all remember he told them something about a doctrine of Balaam, and he taught Israel to eat things that were sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication? This is the whore. He does that. He warns them. He tells them he's going to fight against them. But he keeps telling them, overcome. Do you want to really eat right? Do you want your white stone? Do you want your new name? Come out from among them. If you don't come out from among them, you become a part of them. And all the plagues, all the judgments, and everything that's going to come on them, you're going to participate in it. You'll never receive the power over the nations. You'll never rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because as long as you are a part of them and you have allowed their evil communication to corrupt your good manner, you'll become my enemy. One of the things that I think helped me to, you know, sometimes when you're reading and you're looking at a passage and you want to teach it, well, at least me, and I see things and it's like I'm already in this passage. So how do you go about teaching this in the relevance? Well, I watched the Stellar Awards the other night, a lot of it. And I had to ask myself, if the Lord Jesus was there, how much of this is glorifying him? How much of the songs that are being sung that people praise, telling you that a charge to keep, you really do have. You really do have a God to glorify. How many of those songs are telling you that there's a cross for you to bear, that other people have borne the cross? How many of these songs are telling you that, you know, you may be a wandering sheep, but you better come back to the fold? How many of those songs are telling you that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth and that he will judge? People don't like those songs. They like songs that feel good. But they used to sing the Psalms. David said in, I believe it's the 23rd or the 123rd Psalm. I don't remember. I just forget the address. David said, God's enemies, he learned to hate them with a perfect hatred. How many of the Psalms talk about, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? How many of your songs tell you that the Lord, not only does he reign, that the earth is his and the judgment is his? Jesus says, no man that hath put his hand to the plow and turneth back is fit for the kingdom of God. This whore that have caused the nations to drink is what these people were having to deal with on every side, from the outside of Rome, from the outside of the state government, from the inside of the religious institutions. They had it in there. According to Jesus' brother Jude, he said certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men. He said they were ordained of old, and they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And he warned them. He said, I'm going to remind you, though you once knew, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believed not in the angels, that kept not their first estate, he put them, he reserved them in the everlasting chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day. And then he warned about what God had done to Sodom and Gomorrah and the men that were going after strange flesh, and how he destroyed them with the overflow. Please understand that what Jesus is saying here is so crucial and critical to our day. Come out. Be separate. He will judge whoredom. Come out. He will judge whoredom. Don't participate. It may be tempting. Sometimes you may be able to save your life. But as Ann and I was talking yesterday about counsel, and that thing stuck out way more than what I've said, I just want you to remember one thing. When they had the big council meeting, I think in 1 Kings 22, and the divine council was meeting, and the prophet Micah got to see it, and God was ready to destroy Ahab for his wickedness. All of the council meeting, we have no idea how many of what we call the angelic beings wanted to kill Ahab for God, or have him killed for God. And one spoke on this manner, the Bible said, and one spake on this manner. And then one spake and said, I know what I can do. And God wanted to know what it was. He said, I'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God effectively said, meeting adjourned. Meeting is over. No more discussion, because he will succeed. This man who had known of me, this man who has the kingdom and carries my name, carries the blood type of Abraham, who had a kingdom that had been given to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin, married this whore, Jezebel. This man will listen to the wrong counsel, and he will be destroyed, and the cup of my wrath will be poured out upon him this way. Understand, the best way that Satan uses to turn you away and cause you to be apostate is ungodly counsel. Whether you get it from your friends, your news, your church, or people that's religious, Jesus is the judge, and he will judge those will apostatize and go into whoredom. Come out from among them. Come out, my people, so that I don't have to plague you. In that love, do you feel the love of Jesus in that? Come out so I won't have to put my plagues on you. I'm not a liar. My judgment is according to truth. Come out so that I don't have to put that thing on you, those plagues. And if we're caught up in something that we ought not to be, come out. Come out. Come out. Father of mercies, I thank you for your mighty power and your goodness. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for your truth, and thank you for giving us your word. So many authors over such a long span of time that have recorded your ways, your thoughts, how you deal with the sons of men. Thank you for allowing us to see that you didn't have a soft message for those people in the midst of armies surrounding them. You didn't have a soft message for people in the midst of people willing to stone them, crucify them, beat them, take their home, want to come in into their assembly and show them what to do to make it acceptable to the masses. You didn't have a soft message. Neither did you have one in the days of Moses or the prophets. And you don't have one for us either. But the messages of truth come out. Come out in the mind and let you be the center of our joy, our purpose, and our counsel. That we will hear you and think your thoughts after you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.